Hey, welcome to It's Just Life with mother-daughter combo Karen and Gia. In this podcast, we'll chat about the ups and downs of life here on planet Earth. Come along for the ride.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the It's Just Life podcast. This is episode number 22, and I'm Karen, the mom, and thanks for joining us on this podcast where we talk about life and all of its crazy ups and downs and how we negotiate the journey through life here in Earth School. And so my co-host is my daughter, Gia. So Gia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. Hi, everybody. Gia here, the daughter, and it's good to be back on our podcast. So we have some awesome things to talk about today, but first I wanted to talk about what I'm up to lately with my work. So for anyone who hasn't tuned in before, I'm a yoga and meditation teacher as well as a singer-songwriter and musician, and I really feel passionate about doing music that is healing and inspiring more than just joyful to listen to. And so I have some awesome opportunities coming up for that. They are locals. So I live in San Diego. And this Sunday, September 11th, I am joining a friend of mine, Devorah Medwin, to provide a soul talk, as it's called, at Soul of Yoga in Encinitas. It's called Holding Ourselves Gently, Dealing with Loss and Grief. So Devorah is going to guide us through a ceremony to hold our grief and our loss as tenderly as we can with our love and with our compassion for ourselves. And I'm going to be providing live music and doing some like nice healing chants. So I'm really excited about that. If anybody listening is in the area, you should definitely check it out. It's at Soul of Yoga this Sunday, September 11th.
What
and I've got some other awesome performances coming up. It starts at 11 a.m. And if you go to soulofyoga.com, you'll see it on there. So I'm excited about that, to share my music and my voice in honor of everybody just allowing themselves to heal and or to just be present with their grief and their loss, because I know that's such an important part of the process. So that's what I'm up to lately. And I'm also performing next week, next Friday the 16th, I'm going to be performing music during a full moon painting workshop. So they're going to be painting the full moon and I'm going to be playing music and I'm really excited about it.
Wow.
So that's at the Lazy Hummingbird in Ocean Beach, San Diego, Friday the 16th. I go on at 7. So anyway, that's what I'm up to. And I'm so excited to have these opportunities to play my music in special, meaningful, intentional ways. So wow. What about you, Mom? What do you have going on?
Well, first, I just want to say that's fantastic. And I love mm-hmm. the sound of the grief workshop, since that falls in line with the work that I've been doing. Like we said, anyone new to the podcast, I'm a retired hospice physician, but I'm now writing books and speaking and doing an online speaker series about end-of-life issues. So that grief workshop is totally in alignment with what I do and also with what we generally talk about here on It's Just Life, because we're really talking about the nitty gritty of day to day life in the garden of Earth here and how we survive and how we deal with loss and suffering that comes into our lives. And so I love the idea of creating rituals, creating music, creating chants, creating sacred spaces and times when we can deal with that grief together as a community. I think that's really beautiful. So I wish I could be there. Sounds fantastic.
I know. You got to get out here, Mom, and do some workshops with us.
I know. I will. I promise I will, because that's really amazing. So what I have going on currently, as you know, last month I released an ebook, The Tao of Death, which is an adaptation of Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching through the perspective of death and dying. And so that was kind of an amazing piece of writing that came to me very suddenly. It kind of came through me, I would say, through a lot of meditation. And so I'm really excited to have released that as an ebook. And now I have been able to create a print version that will go on sale on Amazon next week. So anyone who might like a print version of that book can get it through Amazon. And also over the weekend, the ebook is available on the countdown sale that Amazon runs, where it starts at 99 cents and then each day the price goes up a little. So anyone who's interested in that ebook might want to go on Amazon.com and search for The Tao of Death, Tao, T-A-O, The Tao of Death by Karen Wyatt, because you can get a really good deal on the ebook over this weekend. And then the other thing I'm working on right now, I'm putting together an event that will be broadcast online in November, November 10th through 13th, called Death Expo. And right now I'm lining up all the speakers, arranging for all the interviews, and I have some really incredible guests who will be part of that event. There will be 12 speakers in 4 days. So I'll keep mentioning it as we go over time, but I just wanted to let people No, that's coming up in November, so keep your calendar open if you'd like to hear any of those interviews online.
Awesome. Congratulations on getting the physical print of The Tao of Death out there. I know you've been working really hard on that. So that's so awesome that you're putting it out in the world, digitally and physically.
Yeah. After the ebook came out, I had a lot of people write to me who said, I don't have a Kindle. I don't read ebooks. I don't like ebooks. Is there a print version? And even some people who said, I'd like to buy it as gifts, to give to people. So I want a physical copy of it. So that spurred me on to just get it done. So it's there right now.
I love it, too, that you're so self-made. Like, for anyone who is not aware, my mom wrote it. I mean, she channeled it. She wrote it. She created the cover she created the artwork on the cover. She put it into format for an ebook. She put it into format for a print book. Like, you're totally self-made. I think that is so badass, Mom.
Yeah, I just somehow knew that I needed to do this myself. Like, the inspiration came to me. Like, the cover came as, like, a dream or a vision one night of what the cover should look like. And so I thought, I think I'm just supposed to do this. Even though these are not really my skills or my talents, I'm just supposed to do it myself and put it out there for the world and see what happens with it. And so far, I've had a lot of feedback. It's like, it's a short book because there are only 81 verses in the Tao Te Ching. So I've just kind of reinterpreted each one of those 81 verses. But they're deep and profound. And so it's like something you could easily read it in one sitting, but it's far better if you read a little bit at a time and then contemplate each verse as you go.
Yeah, I'm in the midst of digesting it slowly, and I really love it. And also for the future, I'm going to be doing an audiobook. I'm going to be recording the audiobook for The Tao of Death and putting music to it. So get excited about that in the future.
Yeah, I'm way excited about that collaboration between us. So a way for you, first of all, to use your lovely voice in narration, but then your music in the background, it's going to be incredible. So some people, I found some people like to read, some people like to listen. And so the audiobook will be amazing and awesome, just even as a way to meditate and listen to the verses and hear the music in the background. It'll be incredible.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well,
so
let's get into our topic. I mean, before we talk about our actual topic, we do want to do something positive going on in the world. So we're trying to focus on, we bring up a lot of things happening in the world that are negative and painful, but we also want to bring up something amazing and positive that we've heard that is going on. So I think you had a story for us, right, Mom?
Yeah, I just saw this on Facebook. So that seems to be where I get all my information these days, but about a young man from San Diego who decided as an experiment to travel to another country. He chose Panama City, Panama, and he went there with nothing, with only the clothes on his back and his passport, no cell phone, no money, nothing, no luggage, nothing whatsoever, and decided he would stay there for 1 month and see how he could survive. And his goal was to show people that the world is still a friendly place. So he has now this video documentation of his whole month's experience in Panama and how people just were so generous and so welcoming and warm. They gave him food. They took him in. They gave him jobs to do so he could make money. They gave him rides. Many people use their cameras to film videos of him in different parts of Panama and then emailed the videos to his email address so that he would have those when he got back home. So he put together a video sequence of his entire trip. And so for this entire month, he relied only on the kindness of strangers, and he said it was amazing and overwhelming, and he never once felt unsafe. He never once felt, he was never once in fear, never once felt any hatred or dislike from anyone. And so his message was, the world is really a friendly place. And so sometimes the media barrages us with images of hatred and fear and war and terrorism and violence going on around the world. But he said he saw none of it, and he wants to remind everyone that the world is a friendly place. And so that was a happy message for me to see today.
Yeah, that's such a cool story. And it reminds me of, I'm currently reading the autobiography of a yogi. And Yogananda did kind of that same thing as like a test of his faith in the universe. And he went into a town with no money, you know, and he was proving this to his brother that he really truly has the universe on his side. And he went into a town with no money, no food. He was given meals. He was given a place to stay, and he was given tickets back, you know, to get back home. And it really convinced his brother and, you know, and everyone that your faith and your trust really do help you connect to that flow, that universal flow that's happening. And people are kind and people are good, and there is abundance around us. It's really all just how you look at it, because some people in that situation would think, oh, I have no money, I'm poor, I have nothing, I'm worthless. But when you change your perspective, you see that you have no money, but you have everything. You have support. You have friends. You have people around you helping you. You have opportunities. You have your health. You have your breath. You have the love in your heart, you know? So I think that's cool to just really switch up the perspective.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you remembered that story of Yogananda, because that was many, many years ago. But I love it that this young man kind of recreated Yogananda's journey and really stepped out in faith. And I think about myself, I feel like I have a ton of faith in the universe, but do I have the courage to act on that faith and trust and walk out in that way with nothing and trust that I'll be provided for? Like that takes a lot. It takes a lot to do that. So I find that really impressive.
Yeah, totally. I mean, to be honest, I think we're all courageous every day, just choosing to be earth beings and even go on this journey. And that's most true. People don't go the extreme route of, oh, I'm going to go to Panama City with no money and see what happens. Most people just live their normal lives, which is, it does take courage just to show up and just to be here as a human and try to face all your fears and face like the dense reality we're living in and the pain and things going on. So, I mean, you are a courageous mom. You're doing it.
Well, this all ties in with our topic today, because while in the past we've looked at like how do you get through a crisis in your own life and how do you survive that, we've talked a lot about the tools people need to have and develop and the mindset and perspective you can have to help you get through a crisis. But we're actually going to flip it around a little bit and look at how do those of us who feel really privileged and really fortunate in life because of the situation that we're in physically, you know, where we live and the advantages that we have in life, how do we experience our own joy without feeling guilty when the rest of the world seems to be falling apart.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who feel like they have a privileged life, they feel really guilty that they do, because they know that there's suffering going on in the world at a lot more basic of a level. People without food, people without shelter, people without water, people without healthcare. And to have all those things available in their life makes them feel bad, because it's like, what did they ever do to deserve that?
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it's an interesting point on the spiritual journey, because, you know, there's an egocentric stage earlier in our development where we really only think about ourselves and what we need and what's going wrong in our own lives. We can only focus on what's happening in our own world. As we begin to awaken, we become aware of the rest of the world. And for the first time, we start to see other people and become sensitive to others. And that's when we start looking around us and seeing, oh my gosh, like, look at what is out there in the world. Look how life is for all these other people. And I think it's at that point in our awakening, we become so sensitive and we begin to feel the pain of other people that it's hard for us to carry both our own good fortune and our gratitude for our own good fortune while we're looking at the same time at the suffering of other people. And how do we balance both of those and make sense of it without being overwhelmed with guilt feelings?
Yeah, you're so right. I'm glad you like walked us through those stages. And I think that in conjunction with those like phases of spiritual development, I was just thinking as you were talking that you could relate it to how you believe in God or how you see God. So maybe at the initial egocentric level, you do believe that God is this benevolent being, this all-knowing, all-seeing, you know, all-encompassing, loving force that makes everything good. For everybody who is good, they should deserve good. You know, and then you go into the next phase where like reality hits and you're like, but how could God exist if there's all of this tragedy happening? It makes no sense. How could God be benevolent and let all of this terror happen in the world? And then I think you have to reach to the next level where you see that God is benevolent, but it's a totally different perspective from that high, high spiritual realm. And down on earth, things that seem so bad and so good, this drastic, polarity, this drastic polarity we have on earth is not the way that spirit or God sees it. And so we see certain things as being so horrible and so bad, and suffering and pain as being so awful. And yet God knows, spirit knows that it's all a blessing and it's all in its own time and it's all for the highest good. So it's kind of tricky. Like, you do have to realize there's a lot of pain and suffering going on, but also realize that that could still be in the highest path, you know, for all. And in God's way, it is a benevolent existence. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Because that is what the galaxy view does for us. It allows us to rise up above the suffering that's happening here in the garden of life, to rise above it and see from a higher perspective that, wait a minute, it's not this cause and effect reward system here on life. Like, that illusion gets broken down right away, that it isn't that if you're good, you get rewarded, you have plenty of money and you have nice things and you don't go hungry and you don't suffer in any way. That's not true at all. That has nothing. That's not how the universe operates. Really, each one of us is here. We're each here with our own curriculum, in a way, our own soul curriculum of what we need to learn while we're here on the planet, and what we can learn from life and what life has to teach us and offer us. And so each one of us is on our own path, and we have our own suffering that comes to us in its own way. And it might be very different from the suffering someone else experiences, but we have our own curriculum that's laid out just for us so that we ourselves can learn what we need to learn. And it's hard for us to actually judge someone else's suffering, because we might look at where we are right now and think, wow, if I were where that person is, I'd be miserable. But that person might not be miserable. They're just on their path. They're just in their school, on their life school curriculum, like learning what they're meant to learn. They might not be as miserable as we imagine we would be. So in some ways, we have to stop comparing what we're experiencing in our lives with what other people experience and accept each one of us has this path laid out before us that we're just navigating and learning from.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, suffering is such a relative thing, and what some one person suffers with would not even bother someone else, and vice versa. So it truly, you know, you cannot compare your suffering to anyone else's, because you have a unique reality within you that no one else experiences. So I think you have to just trust, like you said, that you're given your curriculum. No one else needs to experience what you do, and vice versa. You don't need to have their suffering. You know, you've already had your journey and experienced what you need to and are continuing on that way. And I was thinking that some of us, you know, once we get to that level of feeling like, okay, I want to help other people. I see all this suffering in the world. I want to be able to help other people. I think it's tricky to find the balance between putting your energy out in the world and, you know, getting involved in activism and getting involved in change making and trying to help others, and balancing that with actually just trying to help yourself as well, because we can't forget about nurturing and caring for ourselves. And ultimately, we can only ever truly change ourselves. And I do think that it's really profound. The best way to help the world sometimes is to show the world how much you love and care for yourself, because it kind of sets a vibration into motion of people feeling loved and people seeing an example of what it's like to find joy in life, because you have found joy. You know, if you are busy helping other people, but you're not even happy and you don't even love yourself, I think it's a little bit of like, you know, a lost effort.
Oh, exactly. It's so true. And I know in our minds, sometimes it seems like it should be the opposite way around, but you're so right. We need to love ourselves first, find joy on our own paths first, because when we reach that point of self-love, we will be guided and called to the work that we came here to bring to the world. And whatever that work is, you know, I got called to do hospice work. That was the right work for me. That was my path, and that was meant for me because of what I could learn from hospice and what I could bring to the work and offer to it. It was the perfect fit. But not everyone will be called to hospice, and I could never say everyone should work in hospice, because that was helpful to me and that's the best work you could do. You know, it will be something different for each one of us, and whatever we end up being called to is the work that each one of us came here to do. We came here to bring that to the planet. So I mentioned to you earlier before we started recording that I have a friend who's a nurse who works with Doctors Without Borders. She's been traveling around the world for the last couple of years giving medical care to people in terrible situations. But she was called to do that work, and she was called to it when she found herself and found her path. And so the rest of us can't feel guilty, like, oh my gosh, I'm such a bad person because I'm not doing relief work for other people, you know, because that happened to be her path. And she discovered it for herself. She found herself and loved herself and got called to the path. Not every one of us will be called to that sort of path. It will be unique and different for each of us.
Right. And we don't have to try to do the healing work that others do. Like, I like that you say that. You know, there's no comparison. You really just have to follow your own heart. And I wanted to reiterate that it's normal and it's human to feel empathy for others when you see them suffering, you know, and you hear about other people, you know, refugees, for example. It's normal and it's healthy to feel their pain and to feel sorrow for them. But it is not helpful at all for you to feel guilty, because it doesn't help them and it certainly doesn't help you. So it's important to find that fine line of like, I do feel the pain and the sadness and the suffering of the world, and I hold it in my embrace. I hold it in my heart with tenderness and love, but I don't feel bad about what I've been given. I'm grateful for everything I've been given, and I'm going to use it to the highest advantage for the highest good of all, the best that I can. And so I'm going to smile today at strangers. I'm going to love other people. I'm going to give, even if I only have a quarter in my pocket, I'm going to give it to the homeless guy on the street. And that has to come from love. It can't come from guilt about having what you have. So yes, feel the pain and the sorrow of all, but turn that in, you know, remind yourself that it's okay for you to love life still, because you inspire others to love life, even though they're going through different things.
Exactly. And that, my friend Megan, the nurse, she just posted a little story on Facebook today. She's working at a refugee camp in Greece, and there she met two young men who are from the African country, Sierra Leone. Both of them lost everything. They lost their families to the Ebola virus last year, and their homes were destroyed during the process of decontaminating the area. Their homes had to be burned down because they were homes where many, many people had died from Ebola. So these two young men survived Ebola, but lost everything they had. They've traveled through three countries to come to this refugee camp in Greece, where right now things are fairly hopeless because there's no work and no way of earning money that would allow them to kind of get reestablished and start a new life over. So they're stuck for now in this refugee camp, which to look at it is a very hopeless, depressing situation to be in. And yet Megan writes, these two young men are full of optimism and full of joy and hope and laughter. And she said they have joie de vivre, the joy of being alive, in spite of the circumstance that they're in. And so that for me is like, that is the perfect picture of how we hold all this tragedy and of the world, of the planet. We have to hold that and look at it realistically and honestly, and yet it's still possible to have joy and to love life and in the midst of the tragedy. And so we can look at their suffering and know, as much as it seems like the worst possible place to be, those people in the middle of that situation are laughing and loving one another and helping each other and enjoying their lives. And that is really the goal each one of us has for our own lives. That's really how I want to live my life, regardless of the situation that I'm in. So what looks hopeless and without joy may still contain all the joy and laughter and love that my life contains right now. So I think we can be deceived sometimes by the outward appearance of what's happening in life, because our suffering doesn't necessarily mean that we can't have joy and love.
Totally. And like in that way, you know, maybe it is a benevolent universe and we just don't see the deeper truths of all of it. And I love that story. It reminded me that, you know, joy requires nothing. Joy does not require clothing. Joy does not require shelter. Joy does not require family or friends even. I know that's hard to grasp, but all joy requires is soul. And we all have that. We all are souls embodied. And so no matter what's going on in your reality, joy is possible. Joy needs nothing. And so I think it's awesome to remind ourselves of that when we hear these things that could be so tragic. And rather than going into feeling bad about it, feeling guilty, remember your joy. And that also reminded me of something Matt Kahn said. Matt Kahn is a spiritual teacher that my mom and I really like to listen to. He said that, you know, when people ask him,
what do you think about the refugee crisis, or what do you think about ISIS, or, you know, anything, any of these tragedies happening in the world? He says, he kind of says this jokingly, but I'm too busy already fixing it. I'm too busy already blessing all those people. I'm too busy already focusing on the future of healing for the planet. And I love that, because it doesn't mean he doesn't feel the pain. It's like the moment he feels the pain, he turns it into a blessing, and he says, may all beings be blessed with peace. May all beings be blessed with abundance. May all beings be blessed with health and with safety and with love and with joy. And I love that. And if we could all do that in our world too, in our little universe inside of us, whenever you see suffering happening, bless those people with your love and bless yourself. And honestly, it shifts energy into positivity moving forward.
Exactly. So instead of falling into the dark, the black hole of despair, which is always there waiting for us, you know, we can easily at any time go into despair. When we look at the world by its outward appearance and what's happening there, every time we get a reminder of the pain and suffering of the world, as Matt said, and you said, turn it into love, turn it into a blessing, and just send all the light and love that you have within you to those people who are going through that experience at this time.
It's powerful. Not everybody jives with that notion, but I promise that it's powerful when you try it. For the people who are really into like manifesting, you know, that goes right hand in hand with creating your reality. You know, focus on what you want to see and not on the problem. Don't put energy into the problem. It makes it bigger. Focus instead on how you're going to turn it around and, you know, create blessings from that, even in your small way, even if it's just sending light and saying a blessing. Maybe there's nothing you can physically do to help the refugees, but every day when you think of them or you hear a story about a refugee, you send a blessing, you send love, you send a positive, hopeful thought, and you envision everybody healed, everybody healthy and happy and home. And sometimes that's all we can do. And then that helps you not go down into that pit of despair of feeling like I'm helpless, I'm privileged, and I'm guilty, and I don't deserve this, and there's nothing I can do.
And, you know, it also reminds me, in the past, I've had a couple of people who were really into the law of attraction and manifesting. They refused to read the news, to take in any information about anything negative that was happening in the world, because they felt that if they actually heard about or looked at anything negative, it would attract that negativity to them. And I completely disagree with that, because I think what we're really meant to do is like face the world with our eyes wide open and see everything, see the whole picture. Otherwise, you're living in a fantasy world of, you know, you're trying to create your own fantasy of everything being perfect, of being a utopia, when the world, it's this crazy, chaotic, mixed up place with all kinds of things happening all at once. And if you can, without fear, face it and hear the stories and look at the pictures and see what's happening in the world and help carry the suffering of the world, but carry it with abundant love and light, then you really are helping to transmute the suffering, instead of like putting your head in a hole in the ground and refusing to even look at it.
Yeah, you know what that is? When people do that, that's manifestors in fear. That's manifestors who don't really know their true power and know that they really are creators. That's, you know, people who are aware of the law of attraction but don't realize that you hold all the keys within you already. You don't have to be afraid to see the truth. You don't have to be afraid to receive, you know, the actuality going on around you. I mean, like you said, it's important to open your eyes and your heart completely to everything, and then know just how powerful you are, that with one visual, with one blessing, that with one statement, you can completely shift your energy and help shift the energy of the planet. I think you have to know your power and trust that you are a powerful creator in order to not let that kind of thing get you down.
So One thing that I wanted to share, and you have probably found this to be true as well, Gia, is that when I focus my intention on being filled with light and love and carrying as much light and love as I possibly can every day and bringing that to the planet, then I'm not afraid to see the suffering that's out there. But what I've discovered is that I can look at the darkness of the planet and look at the reality of what's happening, but I can almost always see joy and love and light within every dark situation. Just like Megan, my friend Megan, found these two young men at a refugee camp who are joyful and optimistic and laughing and hopeful. Like, if you have the mindset that life is basically good, the universe is benevolent, there's abundant love and light, then you will see the love and light that's out there everywhere, and you will find it wherever you go.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's definitely an illusion that a lot of people have, that there are places and situations in life on Earth where there is no God, where God is not. And that's false. That's actually an illusion. God is in everything. Everything is a spiritual matter. Everything has God consciousness in it. And it's just, again, that we can't always see the higher perspective to understand how that could be so, you know, in these tragedies. But we came here to reveal that truth. We came here to open up that reality that God is in everything. And for anybody who is struggling with feeling guilty that they may have a privileged life and other people don't, or other people have such suffering at a basic needs level, I want to remind you that if you're listening to this podcast and you feel that way, you came here to be a light worker. We all came here to be light workers. We came here to bring the light, to shine the light, you know, on the planet. For anyone suffering, we came here to send blessings. We came here to send love. We came here to bring the light. So every time you start to feel down about, you know, or feel like, why do I deserve this life? Why do I deserve these good things happening to me when other people don't have them? Remember that you're a light worker. You came here to inspire. You came here to love and to shine your brightest light. And you can only do that by feeling joy and by feeling gratitude and by expressing your love every day and really feeling good inside and loving your life.
And the fact that you feel guilt and despair right now is actually a sign that you are awake, that you are of higher consciousness, and you are on your path of spiritual development. You're just at the place in the path where you haven't stabilized in receiving the joy and light and love of the planet yet. You haven't gotten stable in that place. And so the guilt and that you feel and the despair that you feel is because your heart is opening to all the suffering that's out there in the world, which is actually, it's really beautiful. That's the first step toward moving forward. So don't give up, because you're on your path and you're on your way, and you are going to discover this abundance of light and love and how to take it in and how to utilize it and how to go forward in joy in the rest of your life.
That's so true. And, you know, as Matt Kahn would say, when you discover that, you know, you feel bad about that, you're the first person who needs your love. You've pointed to the first person that needs your love, and it's you. And then from there, you can turn around and give it to everyone else and feel great about your work in the world.
Exactly. And it doesn't mean that you have to try to get rid of your feelings of guilt or the feelings of pain. You just have to try to transcend them. You learn how to live with the pain that you experience from seeing how the world is. You learn to live with that pain and not let it become an obstacle to loving yourself and loving everything else on the planet. So you're not trying to suppress the pain or make it go away. You're learning how to live with it but how to rise above it and go way beyond it with this abundant love and light. And I wanted to say one kind of practical thing. This is something I've been doing for like 3 weeks now. I watch the sun come up every morning, every single morning, and not just the first light in the sky, but the sun, the ball of fire as it rises up above the horizon. And I've been up early every morning, and I just have this little ritual. Now I know exactly what time to expect it, and I have a place I go to, and I watch it as the sun comes up. There's this amazing sense of being totally connected to the light of the sun, and I just feel this radiant energy filling me up. It starts my day in the perfect place because I'm just filled with this amazing light and pure love. And that's how I know every day, like, wow, I have plenty of love today. I can share it everywhere because I can get refilled tomorrow morning when the sun comes up again.
I love that. I want to start that ritual. I'll have to go to bed a lot earlier, though.
Well, yeah, living in the mountains is nice because the sun doesn't rise up over the mountains until a little later in the morning, so I don't have to get up too early.
I do love watching the sunset at the beach because I live, you know, in San Diego.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my time is, like, as the sun is setting, I send all my prayers and my gratitude out, and I just thank everything. I thank the sky. I thank the earth. I thank my angels. I thank my friends. I thank my enemies. I thank everything, you know, my life experience. So, yeah, you know, sunset and sunrise are beautiful times, beautiful rituals, you know, to just send out your blessings and connect within.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice to tie those rituals to a natural event that, you know, that happens without you. You don't have to make the sun come up every day. It just happens. You get to go partake of it and be part of it. So it's nice to tie it in with this the universe a little bit more, so that we don't feel like we're just limited to this small little space on this planet.
Totally. So the next time you see the sunrise or the sunset, take it as a cue and a reminder that you are a powerful creator here to help bring more light to the planet, starting with yourself, loving your life, feeling grateful for everything you have, and then shining your light out so that everyone can see their brilliant light within.
Yeah. That's the perfect message to sum up this podcast today. And as always, we have so much love and light for everyone who listens in. We know that anyone who's called to listen to our podcast is listening for a reason. And so we're so happy that we get to share this love and light with you. And we hope that you'll keep tuning in if this sits well with you. Every Friday, you can hear a new episode of It's Just Life. And please remember to leave comments for us if you're so inspired. You can go to iTunes and write reviews about the podcast. That actually helps more people hear about it and see it if you write reviews. And we hope you'll join us again in the future.
Yep, and check out our show notes at itsjustlifepodcast.com if you want to check out our work. You know, we both have websites. I have a YouTube channel and SoundCloud account, so you can listen to my music or watch my meditation videos and check out my mom's writing and blogs and stay connected with us. So thanks again for listening, guys. It's always a pleasure, and we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, take care. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to It's Just Life podcast. Be sure to tune in to our weekly episodes, share them with your friends, and leave us a comment. Until next time, remember, it's just life.